Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and tie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of years ago, a friend and I decided to go on a backpacking trip and hike part of the Appalachian Trail. At this time, I was very inexperienced as a backpacker, meaning I had very little hands-on understanding. I'd read a lot of thru-hiker journals. I'd even read, books about hiking and backpacking. There's a big difference between reading and doing. I'd hiked many miles, and I had car camped many times, but I have never put everything on my back and walked for a while. But nevertheless, we decided we're going to do this. So we picked our beginning and we picked our ending and we prepared for our adventure. I had a camping stove made out of a soda can. And I had a water purifier that looked like a funny glow stick that used UV lights to purify and kill the bacteria. I had a headlamp so that I could see where I was going at night, and I had the most amazing sleeping bag that would keep me nice and toasty in sub-zero temperatures. I had everything a person could need, including hope and including faith and the Book of Common Prayer. You never know. We had made a plan to do morning prayer each morning and Compline each evening. And I even Xeroxed the copies of the scripture that we would need. And then we would use that to set our fires in the morning or in the evening time. Nothing makes me feel more funny than lighting the Bible on fire. I'm still here, so. So we set out just over the Tennessee Mountains on our grand expedition. It was June, and it wasn't just June. It was the hottest and driest June they had had on record in a long time. And it wasn't just June that was hot and dry, but it was also the periodical cicada season. Periodical cicada is a phenomenon that occurs once every 17 years, unleashing these winged creatures into the air, into the tree branches and the tree trunks and the bushes, making that sound all day long. Peace and quiet, it was not. Did I mention that it was hot? Well, it was. But I didn't think to myself, what on earth are we doing? I didn't think about that question until I put the backpack on. If you've seen the scene from Wild, you know what I'm talking about. 34-pound pack on my back as I began the trail. That was 34 pounds of gear, like water, food, a tent, and rain gear, like I would need that. It was still the driest June they'd ever had. 34 pounds of the Book of Common Prayer, scripture, camp shoes. 34 pounds of sleeping bag, toiletries, cookware. 34 pounds of, oh my God, resting and crushing me. My shoulders, my back, my hips. But my little hopeful self kept saying, but the adventure will be worth it. Will be worth the pain. It'll be worth it. And somehow my body would just miraculously adapt to the weight. And then we came to our first ascent, and I was wrong. Very wrong. We're gonna step away from that for a second and talk about baptism. We might call today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles the incomplete baptism. Because first we hear about this man named Apollos. And then we hear about Paul encountering some disciples, whom upon finding them, Paul asks, then were you baptized? When you were baptized, did you receive the Holy Spirit? To which they replied, we have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, no idea. So Paul then asks, then what were you baptized into? And the disciples say they were baptized into John. And that's a very important key, very important part of the story. And we need to unlock it, but we can't unlock it unless we know more about Apollos. Apollos is a gifted preacher. He's very charismatic, and he knows his scripture well. He went about towns preaching in synagogues and making scripture-based arguments supporting why Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But here's something we need to know about Apollos from the 18th chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. And this is what it says. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. Only the baptism of John. So why is that important? Chances are the disciples Paul encountered on his travels in Ephesus were those who had been baptized by Apollos, since he only knew the baptism of John. Even John knew that there was a difference between the baptism that he offered and the one that Jesus was going to offer. John's was a baptism of repentance. Jesus offers adoption. Adoption as children of God, baptized into the kingdom of God. And yes, part of our commitment in this baptism is to repent for our sins and to renounce Satan and to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We receive the Holy Spirit in our baptism, the same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus like a dove. So there is a difference between being baptized into John and being baptized into Christ. Repentance. We each go through our lives collecting the mishapses and the oopses. The, did I do that? Did I really just say that out loud? And the consequences of our actions or the lack of actions. And these gather in our hearts and our souls. And we may even wear them on our faces or in the way that we walk. These events, these outcomes can become heavy, cumbersome. And we can hold on to them for as long as we want to or need to, but as long as we're holding on to them, it gets harder and harder to free our hands and our hearts to hold on to what it is that is coming for us, the goodness in this life. The weight becomes crushing, kind of like 34 pounds on your backpack, in your backpack, walking uphill in 90-degree weather, feeling the weight and the strain. And when we repent, when we really say to God, here you go, take it. I can't carry it anymore. when we truly hand everything over to God and seek forgiveness, there is liberation coupled with humility that comes from God in the form of grace. This is what John offered. And I'm not going to lie to you, all right? Unbuckling that 34-pound pack and letting it slide off my shoulders onto the ground, setting it down, was one of the best feelings in the entire world. But when the rest was over and I had to heave it back up and keep going, broke my heart harder and harder every time. We will spend many days, many times repenting. It happens. It's part of our DNA that we happen to be people who mess up and fall short, people who miss the mark. But thank God, the grace of God understands this and offers us every chance we need, any time, to repent for our sins. Again, this is what John the Baptist offered. John knew, though, that his baptism was incomplete because the one that was coming after him will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I have water, John says, but he's going to have the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus made his way to the river to be baptized, John was there. Jesus didn't need to repent for his sins because the Word made flesh is sinless and blameless. Up to this point, John's baptism is the only one we know, the only kind of baptism. But all of that is about to change, because through the act of being baptized by John, those on the riverbanks witnessed and ushered in this new understanding of adoption through baptism. Jesus, God's Son, covered in water, dripping from his beard, the Holy Spirit heard, lighting on him. And if you were in earshot, then you heard, "This is my Son. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Repentance, water, Holy Spirit, adoption, a new kind of baptism, a complete baptism. And yes, there is a difference, and this difference is that Paul is referring to when he asks these disciples, "Who were you baptized into?" We believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We believe that baptism allows us to share as living members in the body of Christ, in Christ's victory over sin, suffering, and death. We believe that the outward and visible sign of baptism is water in which a person is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the inward and spiritual grace in baptism is union with Christ in his death, resurrection, and birth into God's family, the children, as the church, and forgiveness of our sins and new life in the Holy Spirit. Yes, John's baptism and being baptized in the name of the Lord are very different. On the first day of our backpacking trip, we hiked a whopping 5 miles. It was pitiful. 5 hot, sweaty, buggy, sticky, hard-fought miles. On day 2, we hiked 9 miles. On day 3, 10, and so on and so forth until we reached our destination. Hungry, thirsty, dirty, smelly. I wanted 3 things. I wanted a beer. A Miller Lite that was really cold. I wanted a hamburger that was greasy and dripping ketchup and pickles, a delicious hot mess, and I wanted a shower. Boy, I needed a shower. Beer was good, the hamburger was tasty, but that shower was life-changing. Miles of sweat and bug repellent and gnats. You didn't even know you could have gnats. Dirt, fears, tears, and prayers, doubts, worries, hopes, distraction, all of that went down the drain. And as good as that shower felt, baptism is that much better. I got clean in the shower, but in baptism, it is about more than covering our skin with water. It is about being received and becoming a part of the body of Christ. about forgiveness of our sins, about being sealed and marked as Christ's own forever. And once we are baptized, we are forever a part of the body of Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do to undo it or to have it revoked, kicked out. There's nothing we can do. And for those who were baptized at a young age and can't remember what that day was like, your godparents, your family, maybe even your minister, if he or she is still alive, can help recall some of that for you. This is a way that we enter into our relationship as contributing members of the body of Christ. And if you can't remember it, then there's always the sacrament of confirmation. And that is a whole other sermon and something you should consider in order to fully live into your baptism. And we happen to be having a day-long retreat here on February the 3rd for those who are looking to be confirmed or received or to be reaffirmed in your faith. I won't do any kind of infomercial for you, but just to tell you, that sign-up sheet is in the parish hall next to the TV, and I would love to see any and all of you there for that. I'm going to leave it there for right now and just say it. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you.